It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, and I'm joined now by Guy Taylor, Washington Times State Department correspondent. Guy, how are you?
Hey, Andy, how are you? Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Headline in today's paper, U.S., Libya to probe violence after the slaying of ambassador. The investigations are underway, but has anything been discovered that would lead us to believe this was a well-planned, coordinated attack?
I think that's the question kind of surging through the diplomatic and defense and foreign policy communities here, Andy, because we really don't know at this point. I mean, it's unclear in Benghazi whether the protests that preceded the attack on the U.S. diplomatic post there was actually something orchestrated by fundamentalist Islamic militants, or was it something that was just a local protest?
Mm-hmm. Obviously, the event occurred on September 11th, so a lot of people were saying, well, yes, that would come into any kind of planning, obviously. Any word, though, as to who the attackers were or who they represent? I know we've heard Al-Qaeda's name bantered about, but are we getting any definitive word?
Not yet. Actually, there's a lot of talk of that right here at the State Department today, and I'm actually just about to go into a meeting with a couple of officials here and hopefully get some more clarity on it. I think the Obama administration has been hesitant, would probably be the word, to jump out in front and say something here that might incite more anger in what is already a pretty volatile situation in Egypt and in Libya. So really the answer is no, we don't know yet, but there's certainly speculation that the timing of the attack in Libya on 9/11 would be something that bore the hallmarks of an Al-Qaeda style attack.
Mm-hmm. We haven't heard, though, from Ayman al-Zawahiri, the Al-Qaeda leader, right? We haven't heard. He hasn't claimed responsibility, has he?
No, although he did have a statement yesterday, but Al-Qaeda has not come out and try and put its name on this.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, if I had to speculate, Andy, and this is obviously, you know, background journalist just talking about it, not pinning it to the truth or statements from officials at this point, if I had to speculate, I would, one, not discount the possibility that there was some sort of regional Al-Qaeda
mm-hmm.
or Al-Qaeda-like organization involved in the attack in Libya.
Yeah.
However, I would also not jump to the conclusion that Al-Qaeda, which has been really, really beaten down, both in the end of Bush 2 years and then also during the Obama administration, has faced fairly ubiquitous drone attacks across the region. I would hesitate to say, well, Al-Qaeda jumped up and pulled off an attack like this, because Al-Qaeda typically likes to get involved. Something that's orchestrated at a regional level like that would not be as small, and I really don't want to discount the death of an American ambassador, but would not be as small as simply attacking an embassy outpost in eastern Libya, if you follow me.
Yeah, I understand. Now, the blame for the upheaval originally was attributed to the film Innocence of Muslims. Is that theory now being dismissed to some degree?
No. Well, I don't think it's being dismissed. I think it's one of these things, and I kind of want to look at like a bigger point on this is, you know, how could people get so angry about, you know, some Arabic translations that were posted on YouTube of a movie that we're not even sure there's a whole movie out there? You know, how could it be? I think the thing you have to take into account is the demographics across North Africa, the Maghreb, and into the Middle East, the Levant and the Gulf. The demographics are such that you have a very young population under the age of 25 that's highly tuned into Arabic and English language digital media, and also pretty hungry to get out in the street because the economic situation in the region is such that people aren't working 20-hour days and running around with jobs. And you've had a year and a half of political action and upheaval after decades of oppression and authoritarian-style governments. So it is possible that something like a bunch of YouTube clips could actually drive demonstrations in three or four countries on the anniversary of September 11th. But it's also somewhat offensive, especially because of the fact that it occurred on September 11th, and it seems to target specifically U.S. interests. I mean, we don't see Chinese embassies getting rolled across Africa right now. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
This is one of these things where you take into account the demographics, young people, you take into account the new technology, and you take into account the reality that there are Islam-leaning governments that have taken hold during the Arab Spring. And you've got a situation that's very complicated, whether it's Barack Obama in the White House or Mitt Romney succeeding him in November.
Mm-hmm. Now, it didn't take long for this to become a political issue. You just mentioned Mitt Romney. Of course, he was slammed by Obama in the past couple of weeks as being weak on national security. He steps up right away, and, of course, the Democrats found this to be very offensive. So here we go.
Well, it's a good point. I mean, I think just watching it from the inside, especially back to, this has been a really busy couple of days, a lot of news out of the Middle East this week. But if you look back on Tuesday night and yesterday morning, I think there's this question about whether the Romney camp might have made a more calculated attack on the administration. There's almost a sense that Romney came out in Florida yesterday and jumped a little bit too quickly at a half-baked criticism. And this is somewhat unfortunate, because especially unfortunate for Republicans, because I think that there's a much wider and deeper and real criticism to be made about the situation right now and the administration's handling of it. And it remains to be seen, really, whether Romney will make that today. And that centers on the question of how could it be, a year and a half after revolutions and unrest in the Middle East, that the Obama administration has allowed for the security posture at U.S. diplomatic outposts to be so weak that thousands of demonstrators in three different countries can scale the walls of an embassy compound. I mean, where's the security footprint? And this falls on the head of Hillary Clinton as well. I mean, where is the security footprint at official U.S. posts that prevents this from happening? And that's a question that the Obama administration has failed to answer so far, and it's also one that Romney has failed to point out. So I think it's a developing situation.
And I noticed that Paul Ryan kind of grabbed the bull by the horns yesterday, and he started to come out and attack the Obama administration for their policies, and he sounded more like Ronald Reagan yesterday. I mean, he was saying that, you know, you have to be strong and you have to show strength, and these people don't, you know, they don't understand anything but strength, and what we've shown recently has been nothing but weakness.
Right. I think that there's probably some ground to be gained by the Romney camp by pushing a really simple message like that.
Yeah.
But I think when you come out and you get real specific about, like, a posting on an embassy website that may or may not have come out of the White House, you're asking for people to be really critical about it and to check the facts on it. Whereas I think if you take a big picture step back and you say, what's going on, these attacks on embassies are an example of what is a sort of declinist posture of the United States in the region, then you might catch the ear of some moderates as well, which, you know, we'll see how that unfolds over the next couple of days.
Yeah. In fact, today, it's very interesting, you know, having archives available to you of audio and video sound bites sometimes really pays off, because we found one today of Barack Obama doing the identical thing when he was running for the presidency. He was beating on George Bush policies and John McCain policies. And it's very interesting how the coverage on one differs from the other.
Well, it's also ironic that, you know, here we are, you know, 4 years ago we had a reversal of this situation, where McCain very much carried the foreign policy high ground and Obama was considered, you know, Johnny come lately to the situation.
Right.
Irony now being that this ubiquitous drone war, taking out al-Qaeda, taking out Osama bin Laden, you know, untangling U.S. troops from Iraq, has kind of put the Obama administration in a position of carrying the high ground, which I think probably puts Republicans in a somewhat uncomfortable position. He's not used to being in that position.
That's true. That's very true. All right, well, listen, I'll let you get to your meeting. Thanks for the update on the story. I appreciate it very much, Guy.
Okay, thanks, Andy. Anytime.
That's Guy Taylor, Washington Times State Department correspondent. It is 3:57, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.